everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy. A bonus episode, if you will.
Bonus!
I mean, it's still just a regular episode. It's just an extra one. We're doing two this week, so we need to be on track. For when we are together in a couple weeks, I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen. Day off. Big day. It's a beautiful day for a podcast.
And it's the day.
It's the daytime.
The day.
It is 1:49 p.m. for me, and it is 2:49 p.m. for you.
I have had a snack. I've had some productivity.
Your Tupperware counter looks fantastic.
Thank you.
Absolutely flawless.
If I could give anybody some advice, it would be plastic Tupperware is trash. And I realize not advice so much as just a statement of my opinion. But if you're making like a registry for a wedding, glass Tupperware all the way.
Yeah.
Snapware Pyrex is lit. And you might think, oh, I have children. They'll drop it. Pyrex is like not going to break.
It'll it's break impressive. Your floor first.
Literally. So
actually,
yes.
I think, fun fact, I think when we were, if I remember correctly, we were living at Cindy's and Tom had dropped a glass Tupperware container and it actually chipped her tile floor.
Yeah.
The glass was fine.
Yeah, Pyrex.
The tile floor.
Like when Michael was helping me clean out the fridge and I was like giving him cold Tupperware and he was rinsing them out before putting them in the dishwasher, he was like, he was shocked that they weren't breaking because the water was hot. And I was like, they're not going to break. Like I can't, Pyrex is magic. Pyrex,
also,
sponsor us.
Just going from the fridge to hot water is not going to crack a glass.
Well, they were very, very, so that's also untrue. If it's like a thinner glass and it's really cold, it definitely will.
I don't know, from the fridge? I don't know.
Yeah.
Freezer, maybe. If you go from freezer to boiling water, I guess that could.
Well, your water also comes out pretty hot.
It for sure
fucking does.
Ours
also comes out really hot.
Anyways,
so long.
Yes, it is. Like a mermaid siren.
Oh. Rapunzel.
All right, everyone. I've got a couple shout outs. Do you have any shout outs to do before we jump in?
I don't think so.
I want to shout out Alicia. Alicia calling me savage and funny for the last way I titled the episode when I was like, if you hate fun, skip ahead 20 minutes. All right, technical difficulties aside, which is all my fucking fault. All right, here we go. So I got some shout outs. So first, I want to shout out Amber. Amber is one of the people who sent me some very nice words with me starting my therapy journey. Amber, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just want to, you know who you are. I won't go into the details that we talked through. And also want to shout out Chris again. I know we talked about this last time, but Chris said that he was planning on joining our Patreon sometime over the next couple of days. Just had a credit card issue he's getting resolved. And I think that kind of illustrates, I just want to say to everyone, we do not take you joining our Patreon for granted. We really appreciate it. The community we're making, people like Chris soon to join, and the people who've been a part of it for a long time. You know, when I think of some of our early fans like Meg, Janisha, Alicia, Bree. You know, just so literally many. So like, Renee, so many people that we have. Like I could literally go down this entire list of people, and we've all had amazing one-on-one conversations, group conversations, but like we're just so proud of the group that we have, and that's why we shout you guys out as much as we can, because it's just a lot of fucking fun. So
it's true.
I also want to shout out Tessie. Tessie followed me on Instagram and I reached out to her and just kind of like checked in, asked what she liked about the show. Also, she said, I was not expecting you to reach out. So I really do fucking do it. I really do fucking do it. Loving the podcast. She's in season 3 still, but she's watched the show a million times. So she loves what we're doing. And she says, thanks for bringing us laughter, which is our favorite thing.
Are you finished? Sorry.
I have another one, but you can go ahead.
There was someone on Spotify, and I don't super like, I don't super know Spotify from the back end or the front end because I don't listen to it. But on Spotify, when it posts our episodes, it automatically posts a quote unquote poll and people can respond. And the auto one that generates is, what did you think of this episode? And we get like a decent number of responses on episodes here and there. And someone kind of used that as an opportunity to leave us a review because Spotify won't let them actually leave us a review. Anyway, so they said they like the show and they like the banter. And I appreciate that. And it was like Mr. Straight Edge was the username. So, but the straight, it was a number 8.
Mr. Straight Edge, Mr. Straight killing it with the compliments.
Yeah. And so I also, when we recorded the other day, my story was still up that I had blocked Carmen from. So people had responded since then. So if I didn't shout you out that day, it's because you hadn't responded yet, but now we've had more people respond.
Sorry to not shout you out. You're a slow piece of garbage.
No. It was just like it was up for 24 hours.
That's so funny.
Amber, Olivia, Sam, Crystal, Diamonds, Shannon.
Oh,
thanks for chit-chatting. We've been popping off in our DMs.
Absolutely.
So it's been a good time.
Yeah. I do want to also shout out Katya. Really shed some light on some stuff with therapy. And you know, kind of the dark sides of some of those things. So if you are someone who's gone through some of those trials, you know, keep fighting. And I think it's important. I think Kelsey mentioned this last week. It's very important to find someone that you feel connected to and that you trust and respects you and is not judging you. So just wanted to say that. And then I feel like we should double down on the Android thing, but
I will double down on the Android thing.
I also.
Not for, like, I don't know.
I also don't want to fight Casey. I do not want to have to. I don't want her to break up with us. But Casey, listen, I get it. You're respected.
Like, so good at inadvertently offending her specifically. The universe always aligns to be like, everything you're saying is exactly how she lives her life.
Casey, we love you so much. It's not our fault.
Yeah. Oh,
gosh. And then. But also, Brianna, I want you to know that I don't actually have any basis for my hatred toward Midwest people. It's just because I'm from Chicago.
But you have to.
I just have to. Yeah, I just have to. So, anyways, you're one of my favorite Texans, Brianna. You're great. So, all right, that's all I got. Let's, Oh, and also, just so you know, Frankie loved our shout outs. She said she was having a really, really bad day. And
more shout outs, kind words. Frankie.
More shout outs, Frankie. We love you. This episode of Living in Shondaland is going to be dedicated to you, Frankie.
Wow.
Yeah.
First
dedicated to you.
Dedicated Shondaland, I think we've ever done.
I feel like, oh, I should. We have so many. I should start doing that.
You should start doing that.
Ooh, this just opened up something new. All right.
Okay, should we talk about the episode?
We could try.
Okay. This is episode... Wow, look, I mean, I just feel weird. Oh, no, okay. I was going to say it's only been 5 minutes, but we also did 5 minutes.
Another
it's
three.
Fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Okay. This is the 20th episode of the 6th season. It is episode 122 overall. It is called Hook, Line, and Sinner. And that's a song.
Yes, it is a song. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm gonna pause right here. This is another song I don't like. Did you listen to it?
No, I don't listen to songs. I let you do that.
So
I give you that. That's the one thing you get to have that I don't have.
But hold on. That's fair. Thank you. I need something in my life. Texas in July. What kind of band do you think that is? Texas in July is the name of the band.
I don't know.
You don't get any country vibes from that?
I mean, these days, no.
Okay. So, it's a metalcore band, and I was not expecting it. Hook, Line, and Sinner. I'm expecting this is going to be a country song. From the name of the band is Texas in July. So, I just want... to say that I was a bit surprised when I first heard the song, and it was pretty intense. There's not anything charting about Hook, Line, and Sinner or the album titled mm-hmm. I Am, which is from Lossless Records, and it did release in 2009. But they were formed in 2007, and their first full-length album, I Am, is what this was from. So they had an EP that came out before that in 2007. 2009 was the first full-length album. They had a couple of studio albums after that. But I had to Google the lyrics. If you like metalcore, I want you to know that there's no judgment. One of my best friends, Kyle, shout out Kyle. He hasn't listened to the podcast, so he'll never hear this. But Kyle, one of the best dudes I know, his favorite music is metalcore music. Just very intense, thrashy music. But I couldn't understand anything they were saying. So I had to like pull up some of these lyrics. So I just wanna read this beautiful lyricism for you.
Okay.
Show your face, pull down the sheets, engulfed in confliction once again. The gold curtain is no longer considered a shelter. The gold curtain is no longer considered a shelter. Considered a shelter. Move! Roll out the red carpet for what we call the mainstay. Bury yourself with accomplishments. You kept them all from me, expected to lead the way. You'll take my dignity, and the kingdom came. Goodbye! Show okay. your face. Show your face. Goodbye.
So, was it like screaming?
Yep.
Okay.
Couldn't tell at all what was happening. And I tried. I really tried. So out of respect, this is not like the last song. This actually is a song. The Marilyn Manson one was actually just an interlude. I don't even yeah. consider that a real song. But this one here is a real song. However, it's a one. It's a one out of five. Mm-hmm. Not getting added to the Carmen's iTunes library.
So. That's fine.
Yep. But I did my best, and I listened to the whole thing, the whole song.
The whole dang thing.
Yep. Still not the worst song I've ever heard come
not
from
even
this
the
podcast.
Worst song. Yeah, I was going to say, not even the worst song from this specific activity.
Yeah. Anyways, with that, Kelsey, tell us about the show. Tell us about this episode and the things of the people.
Shout out also Michael, who does not listen to this either, but he just texted me that he got a very high grade on his test that he just took at school.
Heyo, A plus, 100%.
Yes, well, nice. 96.
Oh, is so. 96 an A plus?
Yes, I think anything 95 to 100 is A plus.
Oh, I thought it was like 99 or 100%.
I also don't know if people still do pluses or if it's just A and minus and B and minus.
Huh. I thought A plus was
professors
only
that just they didn't do plus or minus. They only did the letter throughout.
Just the letter. Mm-hmm. Imagine that kid getting that. It rounds up to an 80%, and he gets a B.
Good for him.
His whole GPA and life course at that point has been changed.
It pays to get A's, but C's get degrees.
It sure does.
It also and does not pay to get A's. So.
Yeah. Also, it pays to get no degrees, too.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay. This episode was written by Meg Marinus, who has been on the staff. I actually read the blog, and she was saying she's been on staff. She started as like a medical researcher, and she ended up getting to write this episode. So cool. Wow. Directed by Tony Phelan, obviously we know him, aired April 29th, 2010. So the last week's episode aired April 1st. So then there was like 3 weeks of break, and then this okay. one aired, 29th. I guess that's 4 weeks. Four times seven is 28. So I don't know. Little breaky break in the middle there. 10.47 million views. So back up from last week.
Back. We're back. That's nice.
The Netflix synopsis is Sloan returns to Mark's apartment just as she's going into labor, and Teddy, Mark, Callie, and Arizona are there to help with the birth. That's the first 3 minutes. Okay.
Yep.
Nothing else.
Yep.
And Hulu. Oh, no. Oh, also, while I'm pulling this up, let me just say that I got messages about why don't we read the Disney the Disney Plus synopsis, and that's because in the United States it's not on Disney Plus, it's on Hulu. So if you're in the US and you're watching it on Disney Plus, I don't know how. I literally, someone sent it to me, and so I went on Disney Plus yesterday specifically and searched it. It's not there. So that's why I read it on Hulu. And I am curious if someone who listens on Disney Plus, if you want to compare and contrast what I'm about to read to your Disney Plus synopsis and tell me if it is the same or if it's different. So for this episode, episode 20, Hook, Line, and Sinner, Mark, Teddy, Callie, and Arizona help Sloane deliver her baby. The doctors treat a crab boat captain who was stabbed with a giant shark hook. So a little more rounded, but that's pretty much, you know, that's what it is.
So you just Googled the Disney Plus.
No, that's the one on Hulu.
Oh,
so
okay.
What I'm saying is if you listen on Disney Plus, tell me if that's the same or if that's different than what is on yours. And I would say Hulu wins this round.
Hulu probably wins this. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
No one mentioned surprise visit from a mysterious doctor from the beyond.
From Gilmore Girls.
Oh. Is he a doctor in Gilmore Girls too?
No, he's a teacher.
A teacher of doctors?
No, a teacher of like 10th grade English.
Ah, yes. Basically the same thing.
Okay. Well, shall we get into it?
We shall. Also, I just have so many tummy feelings of diarrhea right now.
Oh, no. Do you need to pause?
No, I'm good. I'm going to make it through. But you know when you're just dealing with a lot of shit emotionally and physically? Anyways, all right, let's do this.
Also, I love you, but your diet is sometimes erratic.
Okay, first off, I ate healthy yesterday. I had Chipotle with the hot salsa and then also came home and only had half of a frozen pizza, but I did put 2 entire cans of anchovies on that side of the pizza.
Oh my God.
Anchovies, pepperoni,
do
and
you
cheese.
Need to go to the bathroom?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Although I will go upstairs in our intermission, I'll get another can of anchovies and eat them real quick.
So upsetting.
Make an anchovy
sardine
sandwich. We're not
getting anchovies
sandwich.
When we make pizza when you're here.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Okay,
not
mushrooms?
Having that in my house.
Mushrooms?
Yeah, we can do mushrooms.
All right, okay. I'll make that compromise. Okay. Ah! We see each other, and when this releases, we'll see each other in a week or so.
No.
10 days?
No. This comes out, we're going to release this on the 9th.
Yeah,
and
so
then
you're
going to get here on the
9 18th. Days. 9 days. Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's fucking do this.
Okay, woo! Let's just start with Sloane, because I mean, woo! What
this
a way
is
to start
a lot.
The episode.
This is a lot. I feel like the Sloane storyline also entangles the Callie Arizona storyline. So should we just kind of like that? I feel like that's going to be this whole episode is Mark Sloane and Sloane, Mark and Sloane and Callie and Arizona. I feel like a lot of that's
babies.
Intertwined and babies just in general. So where do you want to start with that? Because the opening. Mark is not being a clear communicator.
No. Well, I mean, but, you know, I feel like I understand why.
Yeah. So, all right, walk us through the opening. Oh, fuck. The opening scene.
Well, let's remember last week's episode ended with the Mark opening the door and Sloane being like, the baby's coming now.
And they're just, Teddy and him were just trying to fuck. That's,
they were really
like,
trying. And so this episode opens with, unfortunately, Callie and Arizona having this argument. Which
having a rough go.
It's interesting because there are certain things that I feel like are sometimes beyond changing someone's mind.
Yeah.
And for me, this would be one of those things. So, like, I understand that they want to have a conversation because they don't want to. They're just like essentially delaying breaking up.
Correct.
But the arguing to try and like change someone's mind is like, ooh, risky business.
Yeah. And it also, you had to know that that conversation wasn't going to stay civil for very long because you're talking about a core belief of someone, you know?
So. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with not wanting children.
No, I don't. I'm just saying it's a core belief.
What do you mean, belief?
Their desire to not, I'm saying the core belief is not a belief of, okay. I'm not saying belief in the literal term belief. core value. That's what I mean. Okay. That's a core value of theirs. Not core belief.
Sense. Sorry. Yeah. Desire, value, things like that. Priority, what have you.
Yes. My desire to have kids is a core value of mine. But that does not mean that that is a superior core value to someone who does not want kids.
Right. And again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Not wanting children, I feel, or knowing that you don't want children, I feel like is a mature thing because people still in 2024, like will shame both women and men, but in my experience, more women.
Yeah.
For not wanting to have children.
And Arizona kind of even says that she's like, oh, I'm cold and heartless and unwomanly. Like,
yeah.
And whether or not that's what Callie was saying, it makes sense that that's what Arizona is hearing.
Right.
So.
Right. Because at the end of the day, an argument is like when you have an argument, why are you having an argument? Because you're trying to explain something to the other person or change their mind. At no point does it really feel like, well, I would say it feels more like Callie is trying to change Arizona's mind more than Arizona is trying to change Callie's mind. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I put a chip in my mouth.
When
you're
about to shit your pants, just throw some barbecue chips on top of there.
It's called healing. Try it sometime.
No.
I really don't know if it's the hot Chipotle or if it's the two cans of anchovies. We'll never know. Had them in the same day. God, I need more variables.
So healthy.
So, yes, this conversation was started because of Callie. And I don't necessarily think that this is the writer's intention. This is how I'm feeling as a person watching this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Callie is telling Arizona how wrong she is and how could you not want a baby. Yeah. Arizona's not saying you're a psycho for wanting a baby.
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit like maybe it's more of an attack.
Yeah.
From Callie's perspective. Just my perception. I know it's coming from love and it's not. She's not giving her an ultimatum, but she is like, how could you not want this baby? How could you not want the chubby little arms around you? And Arizona's like, I'm not saying that you don't have to. I'm just saying that I don't. I don't feel that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just the way they portray this argument and this, not just an argument, but it's a core value variance here.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I've never had someone tell me they don't want kids and been like, tell me why. Because A, it's none of my business. And B, it doesn't matter to me because I mean, granted, I've never had that conversation with someone I'm like in a relationship with. Obviously, that would be a more like high stakes conversation. But
yeah,
I just feel like it's for some people and it's not for other people. And that's fine. Who cares? Let people live their truth.
Also, when someone says they want kids, no one ever goes to them and go, why? But when people say I don't want kids, they go, why? So it is definitely, there's still social constructs that I think need to be broken down on that. But what better couple to do it than our two favorite lesbians?
That's so true. But I was going to say my sister and her fiance don't want kids and like they agreed on that. And that was something that was discussed early on. But I'll like when I say it to people, because Emily's younger than I am. And when I say like, oh, yeah, my sister doesn't want to have kids. So a lot of times people are like, oh, well, she'll come around.
She'll change her mind.
Fucking stop. That's so annoying.
They don't need to.
None of your business.
Right.
It's not your relationship. Like, just let it be. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Like, my God, it's so annoying. So if you're one of people and people have said dumb shit like that to you, those people suck. You're great.
Yeah. Also, just to create a safe space around, like, if you're in going through a process early on and dating, just feel confident in yourself. Excuse me, podcast burp, to have that conversation. Don't be a dick about it on either side. Yeah. But like, if you don't see eye to eye, don't try to change people. Number one, but number two, know your worth and move on to the next relationship.
You don't
because
have to waste your time. You can you still be friends with that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
If again, core values don't align. That's probably not someone you should be with.
I think Jessica and I, even very early on, I was like, yeah, I want a family. I want kids. And it was like, this may have been before she even moved to Disney. So we were together for probably 3-4 months, but I was like, I'm not going to waste any fucking time.
Yeah. But I am going to waste the next 5 years, 7 years. How long were you together before you proposed?
Okay. First off, waste. You can go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. Second, I'm still wasting this bitch's time.
If that ain't the truth.
Okay. I was joking. Put this in the Kelsey is definitely going to commit murder on Carmen
line. Shit.
Ah, damn it. All right. So anyways, Mark comes in. Baby now.
Baby now. Where's Christina? Where's Arizona? Where's sutures? Where's medicine? At no point are we calling anybody. We're just all, I mean, I guess they really don't need to call an ambulance. She's not
the
like
whole hospital
out.
Is right across the hall. They're right there. Every worker there that we have met is right in these two
it's
bedrooms.
So,
so funny.
So yes. I love when Arizona's not in the room and she comes out and she's like, why is he yelling? And baby, no. So, and then they hear Sloan scream and they're like, oh, now she means actually now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they go over. Teddy's like half naked, just wearing Mark's dress shirt, delivering with a baby in her hands.
And the baby doesn't, I didn't pick this up until they called it out, but the baby is not screaming. The baby's making no noise.
Yeah. So, like, a weird thing when babies are born is they don't always just scream right away, and they always make you think one of two things. A, the baby will scream right away, or B, if the baby doesn't scream right away, something terrible is going on. So Scarlett, when Scarlett was born, she was like, meh. Like, she made noise, but she didn't have a big cry. And I just remember, like, I was unaware that anything was going on. And, like, different people just kept coming over. Like, she was on me and just, like, patting her, like, aggressively, or, like, shaking her. Not, you know, shaking her, but, like, shaking her.
Giving her a swift punch to
and
the face real
finally,
quick.
And then finally, probably, like, 7 to 10 minutes, she finally was like a big cry. And they were like, oh, there we go. Everything's fine. And I was like, was it not fine? Just
no one told me
it wasn't fine. So yeah, it was a
well,
wild
something
time.
With the lungs. They want to make sure that the lungs actually have the capacity to yell
and
scream.
Like, are cleared out and stuff.
Yeah. So it's established very early on that Sloan still wants to give away the baby. She gives the paper to Mark, and Mark's like, oh, Arizona's got this, right? Or I think she volunteers.
Arizona says, she's like, you want me to make that call for you? And so, and Mark's like, no, I got it. Also, at that same moment, Sloan's like, look at all this stuff I got for this baby. And it's like Hot Wheels.
Yeah. A toothpick.
Tiny dinosaur figurines. Doing her best, but not doing great.
And I think isn't in that scene that it's established the mom has kicked her out and wants nothing to do with her, and or is that a little bit later on?
I think that's later on.
Yeah, because she's there later. She's figuring out that she only gets like the one day in the hospital, or I'm really not sure how much time. I think it's 2 days she's been there because it has that 48-hour window. But she's
it kind of depends on like when you give birth, too, because I gave birth really early, so I was in the hospital for what felt like more days, but it was really only one day. Because I gave birth both times at 5:46 and 6 a.m. So I was
tired. Why your kids are early risers.
Fucking so tired. I'm still so tired. She's like, I don't have anywhere to go. Like, my mom kicked me out. My friends in Portland said I had to pay rent, which is reasonable.
Yeah. That I was like, who are you talking to that it's not an option?
Yeah. So Mark's like, you can stay with me. It's fine. Like, you can stay with me while you figure out what you're going to do. And then she's like, do you want to keep that baby? Sorry, what?
Kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Should we keep him? What?
Mark's like, yeah, we definitely should. I've been pretty clear about that. So,
yeah, he's not been discreet.
Yeah, so this storyline is a roller coaster.
It is a roller coaster. And you know what else is a roller coaster, Kelsey? Capitalism and our regional sponsors. So let's ride the highs, ride the lows, put your hands up in the air, and we'll be back after these messages. And we are back. I'm such a wordsmith, you know? Just slinging
You know,
words.
On the episode, Suicide is Painless, the local ad I was getting was for a fundraiser for veterans with PTSD.
Oh, that's a good one.
I was
one.
Like, wow. So interesting.
Yeah, I get a lot of Hardee's ads.
Good stuff.
Not sure why. Don't know where the nearest Hardee's is to me.
They closed a lot of the Hardee's in our town.
They're closing a lot of Burger Kings now.
A lot of our Hardee's.
Is Burger King, does Burger King and Hardee's have the same ownership group?
I mean, probably. I think the reality is there's like 7 people that own everything in the world.
It's true.
Okay. So, yeah, Mark obviously does not call Trish and Keith as it is requested of him.
Yeah.
That baby is fucking cute.
Yeah, it's
that
a cute baby.
That baby is like a doll. Like, yeah. It is so cute. And Mark's hands are just so giant and they look so, he looks so teensy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, very cute, baby.
In the blog, the writer was talking about the rules for babies on sets. Uh-huh. So they're allowed to shoot
baby on the set
for 20 minutes a day total.
Okay.
And it has to be like within like a 7-hour period or something. Like, you can't. You know, but they had twins for this baby, as
Smart.
Most babies do. Like, a lot of children actors are twins because of this rule. So
yeah.
They got 40 minutes. So I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. But
that baby was fucking cute.
Yeah. And so here's what I don't like about that scene where Sloane is saying, maybe we should keep him. She turns it around and she's like, maybe we should keep him. But Mark, it's your choice.
Yeah,
like that's a lot of pressure. And he clearly is not in the emotional state to be making a choice. Neither of them are. And no. Arizona does call that out a little bit later. She's like, this
hormones,
the hormones.
Yeah,
man,
no. It is not the vibe.
Yeah. And he really is just obviously over the moon with this baby.
Yeah.
When he's showing off.
Oh, right. We skipped that part.
When he's showing off the baby to Derek and he's like, you see it, right? This clear resemblance. And Derek is like, it's a fucking newborn, dude.
Yeah.
And
looks
then
like
Mark,
other newborns.
Mark's like, no, 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 no. But check the cock.
Check out this teeny baby wiener.
And then Derek, he's like, oh, yeah, a lot of that's from birth swelling. It's going to go down. And Mark's like, no, no, no. He's a Sloane. This is a Sloane, Sloane Schlong, if I've ever seen one.
Oh, my
one.
God. Sloane Schlong.
That was hard to get out.
That's a warm-up.
Sloane Schlong.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, that shit was, that had me fucking dying laughing.
I knew you would
scene.
Like that.
Yeah.
I knew you'd love that one.
God bless the world if I have a boy. So that's all I'm saying. I'm gonna put his penis in everyone's face. Look at my kid's dick.
Okay. Let's let's pull a lot of that back.
Yeah, no, guys, I'm not actually gonna do that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mark shows Derek the baby and then the baby's penis.
Good note.
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
So,
Cali and Arizona are arguing
this scene,
because Callie's like excited that Mark might get to keep the baby. And Arizona's like, oh, those poor parents. And Callie says, those aren't the baby's parents. Bitch, I am very on Arizona's side in this one, because I cannot imagine going through the process of adoption, being told you're going to get a baby, fully preparing your home and your life for that baby, for that person to change their mind within those. And I understand the legalities of it and the law. But again, having gone through birth and gone through those hormones, like the time when you made that choice to give that baby up when you were pregnant, like that was the right choice. Those hormones will fuck you up. Like, it's wild. And like the choice to give a baby up for adoption anyways is like such a gift in like such a huge decision in the first place. But like to be on the receiving end, and I feel like you hear so many stories of people who go through adoption, and that's really like typical. So yeah, I feel for those people. So I was definitely on Arizona's side.
Yeah, she brings up really great points, and I'm going to kind of jump ahead here a little bit, because this episode kind of shows that adoption and giving a child up for adoption can be both the saddest and simultaneously the happiest thing that anyone can ever do.
Yeah.
Because a life is ending, a tie is being severed if it's a closed adoption, but a new life is beginning for that kid.
And for those parents
getting that chance, which a lot of those parents I know that go through that process, not all of them, but I know there is a big number of them that they are infertile and they can't have kids of biological kids of their own. Mm-hmm. So being able to expand that family is incredible. But when she says that this kid needs parents, not an 18-year-old and a dad she met 5 minutes ago, fucking going through a midlife crisis or whatever she says, I'm like, it's sad, but it's true. She's got a good, it's all daggers, but they're the right thing. It's true. Yeah. And then we get a little bit of backstory on Mark. Do you want to walk us through that?
Yes. So Mark gets super defensive.
Rightfully.
Arizona, because he's like, this is my chance for a family. He says, you don't know, you don't get to tell me what to do here. I appreciate your help, but you don't know. My mom is dead. My dad's never going to get off the couch again. I don't have any brothers or sisters. This is my grandson, I'm not just going to turn him over to some strangers when I might have a chance at a family. So give me a minute here. Which, like, if you need a minute to process, I appreciate that. And I can respect that. And I can give you that time with that baby whilst you process. But that's not really the implication of what's happening. The implication is like, I'm just going to keep this baby because I want like more connection in life.
Right.
Which is just like not, it's.
It's a lot of deep, intense feelings. I empathize
with him. And like, we already know that his parents essentially like didn't want him, because that was established when Derek's mom was in town. And so like, I love Mark, obviously, but like, you can't be making this decision that impacts so many other people because like of your big feelings.
Yeah. So. And it's tough because everyone's truth in this is different. Like in Mark's truth, he is trying to create a family and he's trying to do the right thing. In Arizona's truth, she's like, but I'm also trying to make sure that they do the right thing for this kid. And not a moment
like respect
judgment.
The choice previously made.
Correct.
And respect
Correct.
The other people involved. Also, we need to acknowledge that when he's first telling Arizona that Sloan might have changed her mind, Callie comes over and she's like, people can change their minds.
Yeah.
Not subtle.
Yeah, this episode is kind of filled with a couple of non-subtleties. Yeah.
not something to hang your hat on, Callie. Sorry.
Yeah. So then we get a scene a little bit later on where Callie and Mark are talking. And Mark is like, didn't this girl who doesn't want kids have the perfect childhood? And Callie was like, oh, yeah, it was like perfect. Like they talk all the time except for the dead brother thing. And you think she's having a revelation.
Yeah.
Ooh, kind of. I mean, it is a revelation, but it's not the right one.
It's really not a revelation at all. She's just, I'm on Arizona's side for this. She's just like searching for some reason that Arizona doesn't want kids. And like, yeah. There's not always one. Like, it's some people just don't want them, and that's okay.
Yes.
And so she, you know, she's like, wow, look at me. I'm so great. I've like figured it out. Let me go to Arizona and like tell her that if we have a baby, it won't die like her brother died.
Not that she
and
can
Arizona
promise
does
anything.
Not take that well.
No. Do you have the verbiage from this? This is intense. It was a little uncomfortable to watch, and I'm just sitting there eating a fucking Jersey Mike sandwich while I'm watching this, and I'm like, ah, I don't like this.
Yeah, it's yeah. I'm gonna say this once, and then I'm not gonna say it again. Alexa had something to say.
Oh.
I'm not broken. I'm not some psychodrama. My lack of interest in having a child is not something you can pat yourself on the back for having diagnosed. I like my life. I like it the way it is. I don't want it to change. I thought I liked it with you in it. I hope I'm not wrong. Yeah, it's intense. And then Callie's upset and Arizona walks out. So
here is the thought that I had in this moment. This scene and the end scene that we get with Arizona and Callie, which mm-hmm. we'll talk, because I don't really know how to read that. I need some of your opinion on this. But I think that between that moment and the end scene, Callie starts to recognize that she's doing to Arizona what her dad did to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for two different reasons, but they're both seeing it as a choice, and it's just like her dad is like, why would you choose to be into women? And yeah. Callie is saying, why would you choose to not want kids? And the thing is, with your core values is you don't always choose them. With your sexuality, yeah. you're not choosing them. It's yeah. these are things that just are a lot of hardwired into your brain. And sometimes people will want to change their mind on something, like again with the kid thing. I don't think that that's a right pressure point to get on, but
no, and you shouldn't hope that yeah. someone changes their mind right. and then like wait around, because
you know
again,
what you
someone's
hope for?
Losing.
You know what you hope for? You hope that someone who doesn't like sushi figures out that sushi is delicious. That's what you can hope for. You hope one day that they say, you know what, I'm going to give this sushi thing, this disgusting raw fish on a piece of rice, a chance. And they fall in love with it because it's delicious. You don't hope that the person you're in a relationship wants to have kids or doesn't.
Also, because at the end of the day, you're kind of hoping that they are a different person. And if yeah. you're hoping that the person you're with becomes a different person, maybe just date a different person.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
That's the vibe. So yeah, again, on Arizona side, like Callie, you just gotta,
they just need to break up,
accept it. They don't want to, because they love each other, which, you know, I understand that, but sometimes love isn't enough, guys.
Love isn't enough.
Sucks to suck. It's sometimes it's not enough.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the movies and the TV, they make you think it is enough and it's not. So
you know? On some things it is. For example, you can marry someone who doesn't love sushi as much as you. Yeah. So anyways, so after this kind of happens, Callie seems to kind of be Mark's voice of reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going through your head there?
What's going through your head?
I am happy. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
While I love the fact that this kid could have been raised by its biological mother and this guy who clearly does love this kid and wants to have a family, and he is grown a lot. He's been grown for 5 seconds. He's yeah. been deciding that he's wanted a family just yesterday, it feels like, in Gray's time. And also, there are teenage moms and teenage dads who do an amazing job raising incredible people. This is not the kind of person that we are being led to believe that Sloan is. The right choice is to move on. And
even give this kid a good life. I just don't know that.
It's not the best situation. And I'm glad that Callie goes through her own journey and is like, yeah, Mark, you probably just need to like, she made the right choice. She made this choice months ago and we need to respect it.
Yeah. I will say we're getting this out of order because that conversation with Mark is where she's like realizing that Sloan, like where she's kind of leaning into leading him to be like, let the baby go. Don't keep the baby because you want the baby. That conversation is what leads her to the whole like Arizona doesn't want to have a baby because her brother died.
You're correct. I see that in my notes now.
I think watching what leads Callie to kind of telling Mark like, she does not need to have this baby is when Sloan pages Arizona and Callie in a panic because the baby's crying.
Yes. Yes.
And then like refuses to even hold the baby because the baby's crying. She's like, I don't know what he wants. He doesn't like me.
It's a newborn. This baby's not even 48 hours old.
Right. It's just a general understanding of babies that is lacking.
Yes. She didn't know how to hold a baby. Never been around a baby ever. Never held a baby.
A lot of people haven't.
That's interesting to me. Yes, there's no judgment, but I'm also the oldest of four kids, you know, so I've held lots of babies.
So yeah, it's oof, yikes. And then we get, that's when Callie's like, ooh, this clearly like is probably not the, because then Mark's like, oh, I can take a couple weeks of paternity leave. And Callie goes, that's not enough time.
Yeah.
So, and then there's the Callie and Arizona thing. But before that, there's the Mark and Derek moment, which I love so much.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Obviously, this is paralleling the storyline of Teddy potentially like not working there anymore, which we'll get into in the next episode. But Mark goes to Derek and he's like, oh, this day has to end. And Derek's like complaining about
watching Teddy Altman decompose right in front of him.
And like Tom Evans, and Mark says, well, why is Tom Evans here? And Derek says he's looking around, and Mark's like, why? You have Teddy. You don't need Evans. And Derek says, well, I don't need Teddy if I have Evans. And Mark's like, no,
which
you
is
can't.
A fair
me
point.
And Teddy or me and Teddy. Oh, and Derek's like, I can't like keep people because she's like who you're fucking and who Owen like has known for a long time. And I'm sick of worrying about everything. Like this job is exhausting. And Mark's like, I'm sorry. That's what you're complaining about. Screw you. I'm losing everything today. And like just slams a lamp.
He kind of goes ballistic there.
Stands up, picks up a coffee mug and just chucks it into the wall.
And Derek is like, hey, you want something else to throw? Here's a fucking, it looked like an award. It's like, hey, like toss this shit, break this.
Honestly,
if you want.
Like, I like how Derek handled this.
He does
this
good
situation. I think he knows, like you can see their history and like how much they know each other. And, obviously Mark is on a roller coaster of emotions. And so, yeah, Derek, tries to like hand him the thing and Mark takes it and goes, how am I supposed to call a couple of strangers and tell them to come take my kid? And Derek says, Sloan is your kid, Mark. You're not losing her. They're not taking her.
Those couple of lines from Derek really
hit.
They hit hard.
The delivery on them is really good.
He's so just like soft with his touch. And he's like, this is in front of a guy who truly, I do believe that Derek and Mark probably only had the one fight that we saw, but they're probably had grown up and they've had fights and they become best friends through it. But
yeah,
I believe that still even now, Mark being bigger and healed, more healed.
not all the way healed, but healed.
But I think that Derek loses a fight to Mark And it doesn't matter because in that moment he's like, dude, I think that you're this is okay. Mm. And they've grown through a lot of their things. And I love that. And in the face of this guy going ballistic in front of him, Derek's like, dude, I love you, man. Like this, but mm-hmm. it's okay.
Yeah. There's something deeper and he can acknowledge that.
Your kid.
Yeah.
Is here. The one that they're taking away is not your kid. Yeah. And Mark listens. Mark clearly listens. That's the next scene that we get. I think the scene after that is when he goes to Sloan and he's like, I called your mom.
And she's like, what? Why? Well, because it's your fucking mom. She misses you. She's worried. And Mark's like, I'm worried too. And that's when she's like, oh, she convinced you to make me give this baby away. And he's like, no, that's like not what the conversation was about. The conversation was about you, not this baby. And then she's like, fine, well, I'll handle this baby on my own. And he says, no, you cannot do that. Having a kid is hard. And this is not for you. Not right now. So, but if you decide, I'll support you and I will help you, but don't do it because of me. Do not make that decision because of me. Like, I am going to be your dad. I'm going to stay your dad. Like, regardless of whether or not this kid is here, this kid is not what's going to keep us together. Like, I'm your dad and I'm happy about it.
Yeah. This is also just such a good scene from Mark, because he's like, if you choose this, I'm all in. All right. Yeah. Like, I want to be very clear, but also I think it's important for you to know that, like, you're my kid. I'm so happy. I'm so happy I get to know you.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
He had a kid.
He had a kid. I mean, he knew that the girl was pregnant, gave her money and left. The girl could have still gotten an abortion. The kid could have died. The kid couldn't have made it the whole term.
Yeah.
Anything. And he has a kid and he's really, man, between that Derek scene and this scene, these guys and their acting skills, it is just on full display right here.
We love it.
And it's beautiful. And then that end scene. When, what's their names? Trish and
Keith.
Keith. Come in, and he's kind of giving the pep talk to the little baby boy. He said, "Sloans are late bloomers, but don't rub that early in people's bloomers. Face." Early bloomers. I wrote early, and I'm saying late. Sloans are early bloomers, and be careful because nobody likes a vain guy in the locker room. And that's where I wrote down that note from earlier of. Adoption is both the saddest and simultaneously most beautiful thing.
Yeah. Because the scene of them meeting, and I don't know if you've ever like seen those videos online of like adoptive parents meeting the baby for the first time,
but
they're very emotional. It's like if you are looking to cry, that's a real quick way to do it.
I think I'm good for right now.
But the next time you need a good cry.
Yeah, for sure.
It's really a beautiful moment. Like, those people clearly really want this baby and a family. And, you know, that's a gift they're being given that they potentially didn't think they'd be having before now. We obviously don't know the details, but it's a happy moment for them. We'll wrap up with the final Callie and Arizona scene, which is, Callie is there when Mark gives them the
and
baby.
They, and they hold hands and she's there for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about this final Callie and Arizona scene because I'm left a little bit confused. So can you set the stage? And if you've got
Arizona
any of
Arizona is lying in bed and clearly still angry. Callie said, my cousin's baby punched her in the face. Literally, she had a black eye from a one-year-old. Who needs that? I don't need that. But she starts crying and she's like, they scream, they're grimy, they smell like poop, and the whole house smells like poop. And she's crying because she wants a baby, but she doesn't want to lose Arizona. And it's clearly like, you can't have both. And so Arizona turns over and like comforts her, because Arizona, they don't want to break up. They want to be with each other. They also just want the other to want something else. And it's sad. They're just delaying the inevitable at this point, because yes, they still love each other. And Arizona is comforting her because she doesn't want her to be sad. But like, them staying together is just one of them being sad. That's what it's going to be.
Okay. I'm glad that you kind of helped clarify that a little bit, because I was like, this is the first time that they actually have shown that they care about each other in, I feel like, two episodes. So this is like the first romantic kind of, I'm giving you this kiss, I'm holding you, I'm being there for you. And it was nice to see. But when I saw the don't, I don't know how I was taking it, but I wasn't taking it exactly like how you were able to describe it to me just then. I feel like it was more don't change because I don't want you to change.
I mean, I think it's that too. It's like, don't lie to yourself to try and keep us together, but don't cry. Like, I don't, because like, you don't want the person you are with to cry. Like, healthy relationship should be like, how can I make the person I love cry today? Yeah. And so, you know, it's like a comforting thing. And like, also, I mean, I think it's both. I think it's, you know, don't cry, but also like, don't say that. It's not true. Like, you don't need to lie to yourself or me. That's not helping anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Don't cry. Don't raise your eyes. It's only a teenage wasteland.
Okay.
Right. Gotta listen to that song.
So yeah, we'll, any last thoughts on these two storylines before we head on over to the next episode?
Just in general, I kind of want to end with this. If you are out there listening and you have gone through the adoption process and you have gone that route, just know truly you're making a difference in the world. Whether it's choosing to adopt because there is not a biological way to you for you to have kids, or you have had biological kids and additionally choose to adopt. I have two friends in my life very close to me who their families are like that. They had biological kids and they also chose to adopt as well. And it is just so, 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 so beautiful. And still to this day, I don't know if you experience a lot in Tennessee. I imagine maybe there is a little bit, but I still feel like there's a stigma where people express they want to adopt and they're like, oh, but you want to have your own kids too, right? Like, you, they're like, how you even love them the same as your own kids? And I'm like, just everyone just needs to shut the fuck up on that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like throw Jess's parents under the bus, but we've always been open to the idea of adopting. And this was before we even started trying for Marlo. Mm-hmm. But I remember there were people in her family that were like, oh, but like after you guys have your own kids, right? Like, or, you know, but they'll always,
oh, when you
you'll always love them different.
If you say someone like, if you tell someone like, oh, I think we're going to like, we're thinking about adoption. They're like, oh, can you not have your own kids? First of all, not your business.
Right.
Not your business. Second of all, not your business. Third of all, let people live.
Yep. So I don't know. It's just, that's tough. It's challenging. And I just want to recognize that there are people out there who are doing that for whatever their reason is. It's a beautiful thing. And for those people who have given away kids, just know that, again, still a beautiful thing, and it's not easy. And we kind of see a little bit of that on display here. Just man, what a time.
Emotional.
Just, so much emotion. That's all I have for that. I just wanted to make sure I ended with saying that, because it was is a very, very important topic for me. The family building piece is just so important. And if it's what you want, is what I mean.
Also, just a couple in love, married, not married, just partnership can be a family, even if there's no kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, fur babies as well.
Yeah. Families look different for everybody. And we support it. And we love it. We love love. And we will see you next episode. We will start with everyone's favorite segment.